Hello, everybody. Merry Christmas and Happy Hanukkah. Bill Buckmaster with you, our Friday Focus show today. We have Mark Napier with us, the sheriff-elect of Pima County. We will introduce him formally in a moment. First, I want to tell you that my friend Ray Allen is our engineer-producer on the other side of the glass. Ray is with me usually Monday through Thursday, and Tom Fairbanks, my Friday producer. Tom is off today. Of course, it is the holiday season, and I know everybody's very busy. And I do want to remind everyone that this program is being repeated at 4 o'clock on Saturday, on Christmas Eve. So two airings of the Friday edition of the Buckmaster Show on this December 23rd. We are live Monday through Friday from AM 1030 KVOI. We like to do a big shout out to some of our media friends who support us by prominently displaying a link to the Buckmaster Show website, TucsonSentinel.com, Inside Tucson Business, the Green Valley News and Saharita Sun, TucsonLifestyle.com, Southern Arizona News Examiner, and the Three Sonorans blog site. And again, our Friday Focus interview today, Pima County Sheriff-elect Mark Napier. Sheriff-elect Mark, good to see you. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Bill. It's great to see you again, and happy holidays to everybody out there.
Uh-huh. And joining us in studio, my friend Dylan Smith. Dylan is editor, publisher, founder of the TucsonSentinel.com. And on our live line, Dan Scheer is with us. Dan is the editor of the Green Valley News and Saharita Sun. Whether his cell phone coverage will hold up throughout the hour, that's a question for us. But right now, let's hear from you, Dan. Are you doing okay?
I'm on the road, doing well, but don't worry, I'm not driving.
Oh, good. Okay. On your way up to Phoenix. Anyway, 790-2040, if folks would like to join in, if you have a question or comment for Sheriff Napier, Sheriff-elect Napier, when is the official swearing in?
Well, the official swearing in is kind of ceremonial. That will be January the 3rd at the Board of Supervisors meeting at 9 a.m., and by statute, it'll be actually January 1st at midnight. I become a sheriff. I've already signed the oath of office. And so officially, it's January 1st.
Now, when you walk in the door as sheriff, understand there's going to be, I guess you could call it a pool. I don't want to say a sea of red ink. Maybe it is that big. Would you characterize it as a sea of red ink?
I would characterize it as a challenge. Yeah. But in perspective, you know, we're looking at a $5 to $7 million projected shortfall at the end of the year. And in the scheme of a $150 million budget, as a percentage, that's relatively small. You know, it's 3 or 4%. But nonetheless, $5 or $7 million is a lot of money. So we have some challenges to look at there. But I'm confident we've got a great team. We've got a lot of participation, a lot of excitement by the line level people to be part of this. They've not known about their budgets and where they fit into all this. And so we're really going to engage the budget process downward. It's not enough that I know what our money is, but I'd like everybody to know and how they contribute to that. And I've done that in the past as a police commander. And I think once the people realize that, you know, my driving behavior, whether or not I expend overtime, all those things contribute to the larger budget. And I'm part of something bigger than myself. That helps.
You can try to avoid, though, I would assume, laying anybody off.
I think there will be some force reduction on the command ranks. I think we've become too tall. I said that during the campaign, that the organization had become fairly tall. We need to flatten that out. I don't think there will be any layoffs at all. I think there may be some force reduction, some people that will trim the command ranks. But we're not going to do anything that would affect in a negative way the way that we deliver service to the county.
Okay, Dylan, jump in, then we'll go to you, Dan, up on probably near Picacho Peak by now.
All right. To clarify for folks, when you say that you've got a budget hole at the end of the year, that's the fiscal year that we're partway through, not the calendar year.
That is
so. So you don't have to find $5 million over the next week. You need to figure out how to deal with this over the next few months.
If it were over the next week, I'd simply write a check, and it would be
of course.
That would be no problem. But no, what we're doing is we have to look forward, and if we look forward at the current slope of spending, we project it would be $5 or $7 million in the red at the end of the year, which is unacceptable. And I've talked to Mr. Huckleberry. He's been very gracious and very warm to me, and said, you know, I'm probably not going to be able to come up with all of that. It's too late in the year, and so we're going to need some help from the county this time around. And but I'm going to find about probably at least a third or a little bit more than that in savings that do not affect service delivery.
All right, Dan, jump in here.
Well, let me zoom way in on the budget real detailed here. Sheriff Nanos expressed to me a couple of weeks ago that he's a little concerned over the school resource officer positions being cut, and it's his belief that the SROs are more than just what they call cops on campus, that they really support schools and families and students, and they're a great crime prevention tool. Where do you stand on the SROs?
I stand with the SROs is where I stand on them. I've had experience with that with TPD, and Sheriff Danos is exactly correct. I can put deputies in the schools to prevent problems, or I can have deputies go to the schools to respond to problems. And I think the proactive approach there makes a lot more sense, and it's actually more fiscally responsible to do that. So I have no intention of doing anything adverse to the SRO program at all. In fact, where I'll be looking for money is far above that. We're not going to do or try very hard not to do anything that has an adverse effect on service delivery to the county, and service delivery is part of the SRO program.
All right. Waiting on the live line is caller Tom, who wants to know about your relationship with the former Surgeon General Richard Carmona. I believe that's your question, correct, Tom?
Yes, Sheriff. What is your relationship with Dr. Carmona?
Okay.
I know Dr. Carmona. I've met him, of course, over the years, and I'm certainly aware of who he is. I wouldn't say that we're friends. I would say we're professional acquaintances.
Well, the former Surgeon General, of course, spoke out against Sheriff Nanos. And what was the dynamic there with you and Carmona during that period?
Yeah.
Maybe that's perhaps what Tom was
thinking.
Richard
gave me a call and said that he was going to be doing a press conference and that he had some concerns over what was going on in the Sheriff's Department. He explained to me what those concerns were, and I explained to him I was running a campaign, and he was certainly capable of doing whatever he thought was right with respect to going forward with his concerns. And he did those things that he thought were appropriate, and I focused on the campaign. So there was not whether I did not provide any direction to him or him direction to me, either one.
All right. Dylan.
Zooming back out a little bit
from
the budget, what is the biggest change you'll try and make in the department? You talked about a number of things throughout the campaign, but you know, once you get in there in another week, what are you going to try and quickly institute?
I think it's a 30,000-foot view type thing, a culture. I think I want to change the culture of the department, and that involves so many different things, leadership style.
That's not something you can do in a day. So.
No, it's not, but it's something that desperately needs to be done. And I'll give you an example. I had a dinner meeting with Chief Magnus and Deputy Chief Kasmar and Chief Magnus's Chief of Staff the other day. And we talked in great length about how we're going to collaborate and do things more effectively together. I've talked to other sheriffs in Arizona. There's so much desire to work with the Pima County Sheriff's Department on a state level, on a local level with other law enforcement agencies. That's a cultural change. That has not happened in the 30 years I've been in this valley. I think my leadership style is very different than Chris Nanos. I'm not saying better or worse. I'm simply saying it's very different. And so I think that will be something that people will recognize, that there'll be a lot more transparency. The organization has tended to be very opaque, and I'm a pretty transparent person. I tend to over-communicate because I want the line-level deputy to understand what I'm doing. I'm not asking for permission to do things because you're the sheriff. You don't necessarily have to do that. But I think to send that down and let them know why we're doing things so they feel a part of it. And as much as possible, involve the Deputies Association, the FOP, and the Corrections Officers Association in strategic planning for the department. They're a large part of the department, so it makes sense that they would be involved in those things. So I think there's a lot of things in that vein that I'll wish to change.
All right, let's bring back Dan Scheer, editor of the Green Valley News and Soharita Sun. He's on the live line. Go ahead, Dan.
Sheriff Dubnyk went without a chief deputy for more than 10 years, and then he appointed Sheriff Nanos to the position. Do you plan to have a chief deputy?
No, absolutely not. I don't have use for one. I think we may do some organizational restructuring. We may have a captain that will be assigned to something similar to you know, executive services or something where I consolidate PIOs, internal affairs, budget, personnel, and things under a single captain. That would be a direct report to me, which would be a quasi chief deputy, but certainly not in the same way that it was done in the past. I don't need a chief of staff. That's part of the flattening of the organization I've spoken about, Dan, is to look at what positions really add value and have a good return on investment for the department. And I just don't see that as something we need right now.
All right. Now we will go ahead, Dan, real quick follow-up.
Yeah, you have four chiefs who are covering operations, investigations, administration, corrections. Do you anticipate any changes in those positions? And I'm talking about the actual people in the positions.
Yes.
Okay. Let's quickly go to Robert before we take our break. Robert, you're with Sheriff-elect Mark Napier.
Sheriff, I have no interest in splitting up families, but Tucson recently proclaimed itself as a sanctuary city. In what way is the county not a sanctuary county?
That's kind of a complex question. It's more of a political question than it is a public safety question. It's a political decision of the city government to become a sanctuary city. It's certainly not a public safety decision. So I'm not sure I can really wade in intelligently on that right now.
All right. Our mid-break, or actually our first break of the Buckmaster Show, our bumper music, the intermission music, appropriately enough for the holidays. Let's hear some of it, Ray, and then we'll be right back on Buckmaster.
Rocking around the Christmas tree at the Christmas party hop. Mistletoe hung where you can see, every couple tries to stop. Rocking around the Christmas tree, let the Christmas be.
Food for the hungry, help for struggling families, and support for the aging. Every day, Interfaith Community Services helps people in need achieve stable, healthy, and independent lives. Hi, I'm Daniel Stalsfus, CEO at ICS. You can help and get a dollar-for-dollar tax credit when you donate to ICS with the Arizona Charitable Tax Credit. Reduce your state taxes up to $800 for a couple or $400 for singles. To donate, go to icstucson.org or call 297-6049. Your help will bring hope and change lives.
Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. One of my passions is travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. When I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport with 6 airlines flying nonstop to 19 destinations and easy one-stop connections I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient, with competitive airfares, and the best part is there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Check out flytucson.com, travel smart, and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. The Regional Transportation Authority funds new sidewalks, pedestrian crossings, and bike lanes across the region to enhance our regional mobility and safety. The RTA's 20-year plan also includes roadway improvement projects and expanded transit services to provide added convenience and accessibility. The RTA continues to deliver its promise to you to make our region a better place to live, work, and play. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Today, more than ever, consumers want to work with a business they trust. Hi, this is Suzanne Miller with your Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, reminding you that thousands of consumers go to tucson.bbb.org every week to inquire about trustworthy businesses. Is your business accredited with BBB? To find out more, call Celeste Angelini at 520-345-5837 or go to tucson.bbb.org and remember to always start with trust.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com.
Out of all the reindeers, you know you're the mastermind.
Rock and roll Christmas on the Friday Focus interview here on the Buckmaster Show. Dylan Smith is with me in studio, editor-publisher of the TucsonSentinel.com, on the live line, on the road up to some Christmas celebrations in the Valley of the Sun. Dan Scheer, editor of the Green Valley News and Saharita Sun. He has not arrived at Picacho Peak yet. Have you, Dan? Or
no? No, not quite.
Oh, good. So the cell coverage is still good. And our Friday Focus interview, Sheriff-elect Mark Napier. Now, Sheriff-elect, we've got the city talking about really needing millions of dollars to really get the patrol cars. It's just the fire department needs money. What kind of condition are the sheriff's vehicles in?
Well, right now we're a lot better off. Our fleet's in fairly good condition. We've equipped our deputies very well. And what I'm trying to do is to not allow us to get behind on that. And what happened with the city is over a period of time, they said, well, let's forego buying 30 cars, we'll buy 15. Well, you do that a couple of cycles, and pretty soon you become very far behind, and that's where they found themselves right now, where they need, you know, I think it's $21 million just to upgrade the fleet.
How about joint purchasing power, perhaps?
Well, Chief Magnus and I have talked about that. We don't know if it's feasible or not, but these are ideas we should be talking about. We shouldn't see the Tucson Police Department and the Pima County Sheriff's Department as separate
rivals.
Silos or rivals, worse. That's, you're absolutely right, Bill. We should see us as cooperating, because criminals don't know if they're in Tucson or unincorporated Pima County or Marana or where they're at.
It's not like the Dukes of Hazzard where you get to run across the county line and the car skids to a halt.
Yeah, I don't think that's the case. And so it makes sense for us to cooperate, because you know what? I think that the citizens of our county and our city expect that Chief Magnus and I would be working cooperatively together to make the entire community a safer place, to make both of our departments more efficient fiscally, and to better equip the officers out there. And as I was talking to Chief Magnus, he asked me about my son. He said, you know, what really bothers your son and who's on duty right now on the west side? And I said, really, the car. You know, that's surprising, but I think a lot of police officers, if you gave them a better vehicle, would forego a little bit of extra money in their paycheck, because I'm spending 10 hours a day in that car, and that's my office, and it matters to
with
young officers.
Ripped upholstery and bashed in dashboards.
Well, I went out to Mammoth, and I was shooting with a couple of Tucson police officers yesterday, and one related to me that he was going to a call, and he had to get there very quickly, and he put on his brakes so much that when he got to a stop sign, the brakes no longer worked.
Oh.
And he said, God, I hope nobody's coming, and he went right through the intersection, not because he didn't want to stop, but because the brake fade was so bad that the car would not stop anymore.
Oh, that's horrible.
And
Dan Scheer, come on in, Dan.
I want to talk about staffing some more and focus specifically on Green Valley. We have Lieutenant Terry Parrish down there covering the Green Valley District for you. He was a big political supporter of Sheriff Nanos. Is he going to still...
Is he still going to be around, basically? Dan, you kind of cut out.
Yeah, you cut out, Dan.
But I think that was what you were saying. Is he still going to be on? Okay.
Yeah, I don't know. We will probably move lieutenants around. I know his probationary period is up on the January 3rd. You know, I'm not at liberty to discuss personnel issues on the radio, but he certainly is a member of the department, and he will be around in one capacity or another for a long time, I hope.
And the sheriff, Sheriff Nanos, has officially retired, correct?
He's announced his retirement. I guess officially, in a very technical sense, it would be at midnight on December 31st.
Mm-hmm.
Because I accept office January 1st, so he's still the sheriff until that time.
How are you going to work with people who have been big-time Nanos supporters? You're going to kind of have to walk a tightrope.
It will be tenuous, but you know what? There are people who supported Sheriff Nanos who did so in a very appropriate way, exercised their constitutional right to support whomever they pleased, and I have no problem with that. I understand how it would be disquieting to an organization that has had internal leadership for four decades to have some guy from outside come in. It is something they're not accustomed to, unlike municipal police departments where we know every few years you're going to get a new chief. I went through a lot of chiefs at the Tucson Police Department, so you're more accustomed to that. I've had deputies already coming up to me and saying, well, you're going to be here for like 20 years, aren't you? And I said, no, I'm not going to be here for 20 years, but that's what they're comfortable with. Mm-hmm. It's the devil you know. Mm-hmm. And so I don't hold any grievance toward people who supported Chris Nanos. I think the manner in which some of those people did that might be an issue for them. But people are certainly free to support whomever they pleased.
Here's Dylan Smith.
I want to circle back real quick to the idea of the department and Tucson Police Department cooperating a little bit more closely. Is there some room to do that with the air units? Both departments have had some challenges with helicopters and airplanes and maintenance and trying to keep things flying.
Well, obviously, air units are very expensive to operate. I know that there has been some discussion in law enforcement in general about the use of drones as lower-cost alternatives to provide air support. I don't know where we're at on that yet. It's an interesting idea. The county has a unique responsibility that's not shared by the municipal police department, and that is search and rescue. Our air units provide support to search and rescue operations all the time, and I think because we're the only people that do that, we're going to need to continue to do that. If we enter into some cooperative relationship to better support the Tucson police and their need for air support, I mean, there are opportunities there.
How about with weeding out bad apples in the profession? I'm sure you and Chief Magnus talked a little bit about that during your three-hour meeting. Mm-hmm. Some of your thoughts on that.
Well, my primary thought is that law enforcement's failed in this regard during the 30-plus years that I've been a part of law enforcement. And I'll give you an analogy. When the fire department comes to a fire, they put out the fire, and the first thing they start doing is they start trying to figure out what caused the fire so they can prevent fires in the future. In law enforcement, when we have a disciplinary problem, we're very good about responding to it. You know, we do good investigations. We
internal
take affirmative action. You know, the whole thing. We end up terminating people. But we never go backward and say, okay, what happened here? And I've lectured on this as a consultant to law enforcement leaders. There are only two possibilities, chief or sheriff. Did you hire this person or did you create this person? There is no door number three. And so we need to look back and find out what went wrong. And we don't do that at all. And we really need to find that balance. Is our hiring practices not what they should be? Are we somehow having organizational problems in our culture that are creating bad apples? We really need to take a serious look at that. But I think you need to establish an organizational culture that's intolerant of that. When I was a police captain, I personally administered all discipline. I sat down with everybody, no matter how minor the discipline, and I explained the discipline, what was wrong, what I expected as corrective action, and put a personal touch to it, which I think helped. I didn't have very many discipline problems.
You going to try to do that as sheriff?
I'll see if it's feasible. Right now, I embrace the idea conceptually because I think it is important for young people to sit down across from the boss of the bosses and have the boss explain, this is what you're being disciplined for. This is why it's important. This is what progressive discipline's about. I have confidence in your ability not to go down this path again. Please go forward and do exactly what we pay you to do because I care about you. Mm-hmm. I'd rather have somebody walk out of my office a little, you know, hurt and save their career than to allow something to fester to the point at which somebody loses their career and we're in the paper and getting bad press.
All right. Dan Scheer, jump in.
This is a rough election. Why do you think you won?
Why do you think you won is the question.
I'm just a wonderful guy, Dan. Now, Dan, I noticed that you laughed, and you may have swerved your car into oncoming traffic. Now, knock that off, buddy. No, I think,
northbound I-10 is now closed.
we've got DPS en route, Dan. No, I think I won because I was a disciplined candidate. Of course, there was the turmoil at the Sheriff's Department, which clearly was politically advantageous, but I reached across, and I mean, I really worked hard on this, and people made so much fun of me when I was, I mean, beside myself thrilled that I've got the endorsement of the Tucson Weekly. I mean, that, I'm telling you, man, that meant a lot to me. And because it meant I had broad reach. Right. I'm not interested in being the sheriff of Republicans of Pima County. Mm-hmm. That's not what I ran for. I ran to be the sheriff of all people of Pima County. Public safety does not know partisanship. It doesn't know R's and D's. And I tried to get away from that because there's a lot of parts of me that really agree with a lot of things the Democrats say, and there's a lot of parts of me that agree with some of the things the Republicans say. But what I want to be about is good public policy. That's what I've trained my entire life to do. I've got a master's degree from Boston University. It's not exactly a right-wing think tank. I spent several years at the University of Arizona. So I think I have a broad perspective on social issues and criminal justice issues that reached out to people, and I think there was a desire for some change.
Because when you call 911, you don't want the dispatcher saying, did you vote for, or are you Republican?
Yeah, would you like conservative service or liberal service? No, that's silly.
All right, Ingrid has been waiting at 790-2040. Hey, Ingrid.
Hi. Congratulations on your win, sir. I'd like to ask you, do you find any kind of resistance in the department regarding the increased use of dogs, robots, and now drones?
Interesting question, actually. Certainly about robots, that's been a controversy.
Yeah, robots have a definite use. I was a negotiation supervisor on the hostage unit for the Tucson Police Department, and we negotiated through robots because we could put a robot into a place that was not safe for people to be, and through a speaker be able to see the person we were negotiating with and also speak to them and hear them. So robots definitely have a place. Drones, that's to be seen yet. The technology is improving. There's a public perception problem with drones that we need to be aware of. Dogs have been around for the entire time I've been in law enforcement. They're a great tool. They can smell things and hear things that human beings can't. They're a force multiplier. So I think appropriately utilized, dogs have an absolute role in law enforcement. They save us actually a lot of money, and they're a great tool.
Speaking of, as a resident of Pima County, I want good response time, certainly. If I need a deputy, how are those numbers looking?
They do a very good job. Compared to Tucson Police, and we're doing a much better job in response times. We try to keep our staffing up. One of the things the deputies told me over and over and over again is how proud they are of things like that. And that really struck me, how proud they are of the fact that response times are good and that they respond to all calls for service, where Tucson Police Department has been taking things off the table that they won't respond to. And that's not because they're bad people. It's just a natural thing of their staffing levels and their ability to provide service.
But all calls are responded to in Pima County.
All calls are responded to.
How many calls a day is that?
You know, I don't have that number off the top of my head, so I'm not sure.
Dan Scheer, concerns of the people in Green Valley. You want to weigh in on that?
Well, you know, you talked about Carmona earlier, and one of his press conferences was down in Green Valley, which I did attend. And he has a three-decade relationship with the department, but was recently shown the door. Are you going to invite him back?
Rich has not asked me to invite him back yet. I think we'll get past the holidays. He understands I have a lot on my plate. And when Rich and I have a chance to talk after we get settled, we'll see if there's a place for him on the department and what role he might fill there. And we'll kind of go from there. I don't have any preconceived notions one way or another on that.
Are you going to set an example in your attire when you report to the office?
I will be wearing a uniform the vast majority of the time because that's what I expect my people to wear, and I expect it to be a professional in appearance. I bite my tongue when I say this, but most days I'll be wearing body armor, not because I think I need it in the sheriff's office, but because I require the deputies to wear it. And it's terrifically uncomfortable when you sit behind a desk most of the day, but I think it sets a good example.
And you mentioned body armor. Is that do deputies get that as part of the job, or do they have to pay for their own?
Yeah, they get what that with the sheriff's department.
Mm-hmm. And so if it needs to be updated, like, as you know, your son, as a police officer at the Tucson Police Department, that after 5 years or something, they have to buy their own? Is that what
yes,
the deal
is? Yes,
they
do. Yeah. The Tucson Police Foundation helps a lot with that. But body armor deteriorates after 5 years, and the ballistic properties of it are not guaranteed after 5 years, especially in this environment where it's hot and you're sweating and there's a lot of moisture exposure to the Kevlar. But right now, the officers, I had to buy my own when I was a police officer.
All right, Sheriff. Elect Mark Napier, thank you very much for spending some time with
very
us here,
to,
and
Bill.
A Merry Christmas and Happy New Year, and I hope you have a great holiday season.
Well, thank you. You're a very good friend. Thanks, Dan. I appreciate everything you do down in Green Valley, and I wish you a safe journey and happy holidays.
Thank you, Dan. Thank you. And Dan, stay with us, okay, because Dylan's going to be here, and we've got some – going to talk a few about some of the top stories of the year, of course.
It was a slow news year.
Yeah, certain, not much
really
to talk about. Anyway, let's have some holiday rock and roll.
The mood is right. The spirit's up. We're here tonight. And that's enough. Simply having a wonderful Christmas time.
The excitement is building for the grand opening in early 2017 for the Twisted Tandoor. The legendary Indian food truck will now have a permanent brick-and-mortar home at Swan and Camp Lowell Drive. The menu will be an expansion of the Indian classic offerings from the original Twisted Tandoor food truck. The Twisted Tandoor, coming in early 2017 at 4660 East Camp Lowell Drive. Business owners and managers, upgrade your workforce through training customized to meet your needs. Pima Community College offers affordable, specialized training for companies large and small. Instruction is delivered how, when, and where you want it, whether online, at your business, or a customized combination. Pima Community College instructors make training relevant with a focus on today's real-world business needs and measurable success. Learn more at 206-6593, 206-6593. As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year, and if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
Experience the best of the Canadian Rocky Mountains with the rail journey on Rocky Mountaineer. You'll travel alongside the powerful Kicking Horse River and pass by monumental landmarks from the early days of the National Railway. On this legendary route, you'll see postcard images around each bend, including stays in picturesque Lake Louise, with scenic tours of Jasper National Park, and much more. Contact Bon Voyage Travel to plan your Rocky Mountaineer rail journey today. Bon Voyage Travel, your travel experts.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Tuesday after the Christmas holiday, UA economic forecaster Dr. George Hammond will look at the economic picture for Southern Arizona as we start the new year, plus the Tuesday Moneymaker Report with certified financial planner Shelley Fishman. Buckmaster, noon to 1 on AM 1030, KVOI, Tucson's voice, with worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com. Jingle Bell Rock, the artist Bobby Helms, I remember the song from the 60s, but I really never thought of who the artist, maybe that was like a one hit thing for Mr. Helms, Bobby Helms. Anyway, welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, our Friday program being repeated on Christmas Eve. In the 4 to 5 hour here on KVOI. And speaking of our shows, coming up tomorrow, we've got Swap Shop, Charles Heller. That's going to be funny. He's got the funniest phone calls over the last 8 years, Dylan Smith and Dan Shear.
So all 8 years, not just this year?
No.
He's so got some real classics.
Yeah, go dig back in the vault. And then on Liberty Watch, he has Stephen L. Moore on heroic actions of 11 sailors and Marines in World War II on Palawan, the island of Palawan. At 1 p.m., he has Mark Spear on the new city ordinance on handheld devices while in a car. Dylan Smith is with me from TucsonSentinel.com. Dan Shear on the road from his editorship in Green Valley in Sahuarita Sun. He's on his way to Points North. Speaking of Mark Shear, Mark Spear, Dylan, I asked him, he was on my show this week, and I asked him, what about those poles that are still at all of our intersections? And I asked Councilman Fimbres, who was on the program yesterday.
You're talking about the former traffic cam poles.
Traffic cam poles.
Yeah.
The ordinance went away, but the poles stayed.
The last I heard, and I haven't really dug into this for a while, you know, they pretty much immediately stopped issuing tickets last year when voters said
that. Last November,
You know, no, we don't want to do that
anymore.
Not
last year. This November. Still this year. Yeah. You said last year.
Well, that was 2015.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
It's been a year.
Okay.
They've been off for a year.
All right.
All the years blend
together.
Time
flies, right?
Yeah. But last I heard, they still had some of the cameras in them working so they could do traffic studies.
Oh.
Especially they wanted to compare you know, rates of accidents at the intersections with them off and on and see what was happening.
Mm.
And just to, as they have cameras in some other places that are not the, you know, the red light cameras,
yeah.
But we have a lot of cameras on intersections around town where they can basically see how drivers are behaving with lights timed in certain ways. And they've been using them for that. So at this point, I don't know if the cameras in those boxes are still operative, but they were on for quite some time afterwards.
Dan Shear, big story in Green Valley and Sahuarita Sun. What's your top story of the year?
You know, probably one of our biggest stories of the year was the story that never happened, and that was about a year ago, in fact, exactly a year ago, Freeport-McMoRan announced that it was going to close down its Sahuarita mine temporarily. But it was going to involve a layoff of an awful lot of workers. And in fact, initially, probably about 100 transferred to other mines. I think we lost about 300 jobs. But then mid-year, it was announced that market conditions had improved enough where they were not going to do the full shutdown. So it did not happen. So it's kind of like, you know, everything was saved, everything was fine. But spread a lot of fear through here, the housing market, retail, schools. It was just affecting every aspect of life in Green Valley and Sahuarita.
And politics-wise, probably the announcement about Ray Carroll leaving.
Right, and that was a year ago in January. Ray announced that he was leaving after 20 years, and Marla Clausen had been in the race for probably 8-10 months by that point, and that opened the door, though, when Ray said that, and we had Steve Christie jump in, who, of course, eventually won. John Backer from Sarita jumped in. It was a three-way GOP primary. There were no Democrats in the race, and it made it much more interesting. So Ray bumped out. We're looking forward to what Steve can do for the area. He's already been down there talking to lots of people, making lots of contacts, and we'll see what he does.
Top story of the year, Dylan Smith, I'll give you mine, Prop 123, I think, was the big story.
That is statewide. A big one. Uh-huh. Yeah.
What about you?
Well, we can look at it two ways. Certainly, Arizona was again at the center of national attention with all of the rhetoric about a border wall coming from Donald Trump, and we will certainly see what actually happens with that.
And with the possible roundup of Dreamers, that's still to come for 2017.
Border and immigration issues always seem to end up with the spotlight on Arizona. And unfortunately, a whole lot of parachute journalism, reporting by people who don't have a whole lot of context in what goes on here, and completely uninformed commentary that's pretty much blather from people who have no idea what the facts are here on the ground. And so that's always a little bit frustrating to see, and we try and get out some more grounded reporting on how these things actually work, here amongst real people, and all of the many factors that are at play with border enforcement and immigration. So that's kind of the broad stroke. A more focused story, I think, would be some interesting shifts, and shifts that didn't happen in local politics. Mm-hmm. Saw Martha McSally become probably a good deal more secure in her mm-hmm. position in Congress.
I would think so.
And we saw basically no shift in the dynamic with the Pima County Board of Supervisors when there was a chance that things could have changed drastically there. Mm-hmm.
Dan, you want to jump in here?
Yeah, Martha McSally, though, is now in a really awkward position because she has a president who a lot of people are not supportive of, and a lot of people are, but she now is in the Republican majority and really has not come out wholeheartedly in favor of his presidency. Certainly supports him as the candidate, but she never endorsed him. And so now this is someone who is poised to probably have a really good career in Congress. But I think what happens over the next few years, her relationship with Donald Trump could actually affect that one way or the other. So is she going to be on board or is she not going to be on board? I think Martha McSally will be her own person because she always has done that, but it'll be interesting to watch.
There could be some ground laid for a challenge to her in a primary from the right wing, and perhaps some better opportunities for the Democrats to run against her based on the sort of decisions that she makes and the votes that she takes.
And looking ahead now to 2017, what I believe the Prop 123 being a big story, maybe the big story of the year. Now that's going to be interesting to see how education plays out in the new session of the legislature 2 weeks from today. With us in studio will be State Senator Steve Farley, who is thinking about running for governor in 2 years, but the run would begin in less than 2 years.
Well, you have to really start running soon if you want to be a Democratic governor in Arizona, and especially trying to run from southern Arizona is pretty difficult. Farley has made somewhat of a name for himself, kept his profile up in the media up in Phoenix, which is important if you want to try and be that kind of candidate.
Dan, big story coming up, do you think, statewide for 2017?
Boy, you know what? I'm going to go back down to Green Valley for this one because we're going to be watching our hospital real closely. It celebrated its first anniversary this year, but they've been fairly candid that they have money problems. And I think they've got some really hard decisions to make in 2017, and we'll see if they how they solve this issue. Right now, they put a lot of Band-Aids on it, We'll see if they actually can come up with a long-term solution here.
And the minimum wage, we're going to see how that's going to play out for our economy.
Yeah, that court case is doesn't seem to really be going anywhere.
No.
Go ahead, Dan, sorry.
No, that court case won't go anywhere. And we have been talking to small mom and pops around our area as to, you know, are they going to have to raise prices, lay off workers, cut back hours, things like that. A lot of them tell us that they will. We'll see if this actually plays out in other markets. It's kind of been hit and miss as to whether they really follow through on those threats or if they just kind of suck it up and to pay the minimum wage and make it work.
And that is going before the Arizona Supreme Court?
I don't know if an appeal has been filed yet, but I'm thinking that they will try and keep pushing that case to throw that law out.
All right. It's wrap-up time here for – actually, this is going to be our last show before Christmas, so I certainly want to wish Dylan, thank you very much for all of your service to the program. I appreciate it very much.
Oh, but it's always great fun coming in here, and makes me think a lot, both when I'm doing it and afterwards. And I hope I'm pretty damn sure that your show gives everybody out there a whole lot to think about.
Well, thank you very much. And Dan Scheer, I can't thank you enough for your work here in this seat when I had been away over the uncertain vacations and holidays. And you do a great job, Dan, and I really want to wish you and yours a wonderful Christmas season. Thank you.
I appreciate that. It's a privilege to work with you, Bill.
Thank you very much. Dan Scheer, have a safe trip there up to Phoenix. Dan Scheer, editor of the Green Valley News and Saharita Sun, and Dylan Smith. We can look for Dylan's work. It's easy to find, TucsonSentinel.com, and you and the gang at the Sentinel really do and provide a great service, Dylan. You really do.
Well, thank you very much.
And
appreciate
it is
that.
Supported by local people.
Yeah, it's we're an independent, nonprofit mm-hmm. organization, and we really rely on local readers and local small businesses keeping our doors open and keeping our reporters and enough coffee to keep them busy.
All right. Rock and roll Christmas here on the Buckmaster Show. We've got our weekend watch with Matt Russell right after this.
I'll have a blue Christmas without you. So blue, just thinking about you.
Did you know that this year you can give more charitable tax credit dollars than ever before and claim a dollar-for-dollar credit on your Arizona state taxes? The Arizona Charitable Tax Credit Coalition, a group of 31 local charities, encourages you to put your state tax dollars to work in our community. It's easy. Feel good when you give at givelocalkeeplocal.org. That's givelocalkeeplocal.org.
Enjoy the most magical time of the year with friends and family at Tohono O'Toole's annual Holiday Nights. Listen to musical performances as you stroll through the gardens decked with over a million twinkling lights. Holiday Nights takes place the first three Fridays and Saturdays in December from 5:30 to 8:30. Shop local this holiday season. Our museum shops are full of local art and unique gifts, including annual memberships to Tohono O'Toole. Tickets and event information are available at tohonotool.org/holidaynights.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Next time you book a flight, type in TUS. Travel smart and fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting from a different perspective. featuring regional, national, and international news, local opinion, and views from top national columnists, business and technology news, auto reviews, books, and the box office, plus sports and a look back at the Old West. The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting from a different perspective. Free subscriptions at soaznewsx.com.
This year, the Regional Transportation Authority celebrates 10 years of delivering projects across our region. More than 755 multimodal projects help you reach your destinations. By delivering both mobility and economic benefits to communities throughout Pima County, the RTA unquestionably makes a difference in our region. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com. Business owners and managers, upgrade your workforce through training customized to meet your needs. Pima Community College offers affordable, specialized training for companies large and small. Instruction is delivered how, when, and where you want it, whether online, at your business, or a customized combination. Pima Community College instructors make training relevant with a focus on today's real-world business needs and measurable success. Learn more at 206-6593, 206-6593.
Hi, this is Sean McCluskey, co-owner and designated broker for Rincon Ventures. If you're a rental owner by choice or by accident, and you're looking to hire or change property management companies, consider Rincon Ventures. We employ an aggressive web-based advertising strategy to market your rental. We thoroughly screen prospective tenants and conduct routine property inspections. Our online system gives tenants the ability to pay rent and file maintenance requests instantly over the web. Our owners can use the same system to instantly check on their properties. Call Rincon Ventures at 881-2258 or visit us on the web at rvprop.com.
Time for Weekend Watch, presented by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Folks have time off between Christmas and New Year's. I know you do. Might be a great time. In fact, it would be a good time. Take a little road trip over to Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico, and hang out in historic Silver City. And just enjoy a really different atmosphere. SouthwestNewMexico.org is the place to find out about all the great places to stay and the many ways to recreate in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. Let's go now on the live line. He is in his appropriate Santa outfit, inside Tucson business food and beverage columnist and highly acclaimed Tucson publicist, Mr. Matt Russell. How are you, sir?
Doing great. You know, just letting another notch out of the old Buckmaster belt as we speak.
Yes, it's Christmas time. It'd be a great time to kind of get together and do a happy hour.
It sure would. You know, Bill, and if any of your listeners are like I am, stretching out our Christmas shopping until nearly the last minute, they're going to see me at the Tucson Mall today fighting the crowds, which means when I'm done, I'm going to walk across the parking lot to Cervezas Taco Garage for their version of happy hour, which they call their garage sale. Now, I'm going to be rolling up my sleeves for what they call a Mexican, a cold can of Modelo beer, literally surrounded by piles of fried pork rinds, skewered shrimp, and spicy peanuts. It's a palate-pleasing platter that will have to be kicking off the holiday weekend right away.
A lot of folks like to go out and dine on Christmas Eve. It's a wonderful time to be with family and friends.
It really is, Bill. And for those really wanting to leave all the work to someone else, tomorrow night you might want to check out a three-course Christmas Eve dinner at Wildflower.
Hmm.
Check this out. Appetizer options include clam chowder, smoked salmon, and some other yummy starters, followed by a number of entree options from prime rib to a Spanish paella, and lots of dessert options, including my favorite, the cinnamon donuts. They're world famous for those. All just $45 a person, but you got to make your reservation. Today is a good time to do it for Christmas Eve at Wildflower.
And then after all the gifts have been opened on Christmas morning, how about a brunch?
Yeah, you know, there's only a few local restaurants that are going to be open on Christmas Day. And as you say, brunch at the Cup Cafe downtown at Hotel Congress gets my nod. Steak and eggs with bacon and potato hash and smoked maple syrup, or even a full-on Creole experience with blackened shrimp and jambalaya cakes, fried okra, and more. It's Christmas morning at the Cup this Sunday, Bill.
What's in the column?
You know what, Bill? Beer is going to be sold for the first time in many decades inside Arizona Stadium next Friday for the Noble Home Loans Arizona Bowl, and I reveal the commemorative blue that is going to make its official debut at this historic moment in sports and beer history. You got to check it out in this week's edition of Inside Tucson.
Wonderful holiday season. Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, and everything else associated with the holidays to you, Mr. Matt Russell.
Right back to you, sir. Happy.
Thank you. All right. Want to tell folks about, really want to thank some people here. Our original theme music, Christophon, fine young German composer who I met over in Portugal, who has produced our wonderful theme music. There is a link on our website to Christophon. A Merry Christmas to him and all of his friends in Europe. Also, I want to thank everybody associated with this program, The Buckmaster Show, a presentation of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, which is wholly responsible for its content. Rosemary Brandt has been with me as my assistant since the beginning of our radio project. Nearly 6 years ago, our six-year anniversary coming up in January. Our thanks to Ray Allen. Certainly, Ray does a great job for me, engineering and producing. Tom Fairbanks, Ed Alexander, the front office staff, Alicia, Elsa, Rhonda, Christina, our chief engineer, everybody, of course, Mr. and Mrs. Martin, and Jerry Cross, our production guy. Everybody, Merry Christmas. Have a great one.